This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor from the surface of the planet Earth. We're with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, into low Earth orbit on a private commercial space mission scheduled soon enough in the early spring of 23. Bob, a very good evening to you. A private space mission involving a veteran of private space missions. Introduce us to Jared Isaacman.
Yes, Derek Isaacman is a name that some people will remember. He paid for SpaceX's first entirely private mission back last fall called Inspiration 4, in which he bought a Falcon 9 launch in a Dragon capsule Resilience for him and three others to go up into space and orbit the Earth in a Dragon capsule for, three, 4 days. He paid for that. He said one of his main goals, he wanted to go to space, but one of his other main goals was to raise money for St. Jude Children's Hospital, and he raised something like $100 million by this flight. Well, Isaacman later signed another deal with SpaceX to do a series of three further missions. He wanted to go to space additional times. He called it the Polaris Dawn, Polaris program. It's own program. The first mission is called Polaris Dawn. They've now scheduled that launch for March of 23. They were trying to get it in this year, but it wasn't realistic. So they're now going to do it in March 23. That's the first of three missions on this Polaris program. The second would also be a Dragon launch, and the third is supposed to be a Starship flight when that's ready to launch. Somewhere in the process, Isaacman and SpaceX is talking to NASA about doing one of these missions to the Hubble Space Telescope to possibly work out a way to raise its orbit, keep it operational for a longer period of time. So Isaacman's got real ambitions in space, and I will say this March 23 next mission, they dubbed it Polaris Dawn, obviously the first of the Polaris missions. That mission in March, he's paying for that, and that mission is going to try to do several things. One, it's going to try to be the highest Earth orbiting manned mission ever. It'll try to beat the record for a Earth orbit mission that was set by Gemini 11 back in 1966, where it went 850 miles above the Earth. They're going to try to beat that. In addition, they want to do the first commercial private spacewalk using SpaceX spacesuits. Now, I don't think Resilience has an airlock, but there's been some discussion, I think, about maybe converting the nose cone area to a space airlock, but I'm not sure that's true. But either way, this spacesuit is going to be SpaceX designed and built, and very quickly, and they're going to test it. I would also say probably to try to go to such a high elevation is probably in connection with testing technology for raising Hubble's orbit at the same time. So that's his plan, and he's going to do it, and he's going to do additional missions, and all power to him. It's all private, though. No government involved here. This is all private enterprise, John.
Detail, Bob. There's going to be a crew of four led by Isaacman. He wants to do an EVA outside. He'll have a spacesuit. Does that mean everyone will have a spacesuit as a backup just in case there's airlock problems?
Well, I'm not sure at the moment where there'll be an airlock. If there is no airlock, then when he opens the hatch, everybody's got to be in the spacesuit.
Okay.
So if they're building a spacesuit for him, they're going to have to do it for everybody. But, you know, if they build a spacesuit for him, it's not really a big deal to make four. I don't think that's the question is, in my mind, is whether there'll be an airlock at all. My memory is telling me I had seen a story where they were designing one, but I'm not sure that's the case here. Either way, I would say almost guaranteed, even if there is an airlock, they're going to want everybody in a spacesuit anyway, just in case something goes wrong.
Right.
And so I think everyone will be wearing one no matter what.
All right. We move from private commercial space EVAs and missions to NASA preparing for manned flight in future. A spacesuit. There was a problem with a spacesuit. It had to do with, I think, water, moisture building.
Yes.
That's been solved.
Yes.
How did they solve it, Bob?
No, it hasn't been solved. NASA said, it wasn't really a problem. So you go from private commercial spacesuits from SpaceX to NASA government-built spacesuits. The American spacesuits that have been using on ISS now for 20 years plus have been having consistent problems over the years where moisture builds up inside the suit to a point where the astronaut inside could literally drown. And they've had to cut short several spacewalks over the years because of this. In March, same thing happened again. Astronaut was out doing a spacewalk. Water started to build up in his helmet to a point where he was worried he couldn't breathe, so they kind of cut short the spacewalk. And at that point, NASA put a stop on all further spacewalks until they could get that spacesuit back to Earth to look at it to see what was wrong. Because this has been an ongoing problem, and they've checked it multiple times, and they think they fixed it, and then once again, here it was again. Well, it took a while to get the suit back, and when they finally got it back in August, they've looked at it over, and NASA's decision is that it was not a leak caused by hardware issues. They say the water in this guy's suit was condensation caused by high level of astronaut exertion and the cooling setting on the suit. So their solution, and they were very vague in their about this, but it appears what they really decided is they're telling the astronauts to change the cooling system so there will not be as much condensation in their suits. And with this decision, NASA is now given the okay for future spacewalks to resume on ISS, American spacewalks. The Russians have been doing it all along with their very well-designed all-on suits, but they've approved to go on. Now, NASA has contracted with other private companies, not SpaceX, to build new suits for both moonwalking and spacewalking. It'll be really interesting to see how the costs come in between those NASA-purchased suits and the ones that SpaceX designs, John. It'll be really interesting to see. No matter what, the privately built spacesuits that NASA has contracted with are going to be cheaper and better than what NASA has built. In fact, NASA made that contractual arrangement recently after spending 14 years and $1 billion trying to come up with its own new spacesuits and being unable to do so. So they finally said they threw in the towel and said, okay, we'll have private enterprise do it, and they'll probably do it very quickly and cheaply.
ESA, European Space Agency, still in the game with its Ariane launch systems. Ariane 6 launch was scheduled or rescheduled, delayed. Bob, Ariane is a sophisticated version of the 20th century. Is there any plan to replace it or upgrade it in some fashion?
Well, let's be clear about this. Ariane 5 is the rocket that the European Space Agency has been using since 2000 or so, and it's an expendable rocket. Well, back in around 17, Europe decided it was going to replace Ariane 5 with Ariane 6. Because they said this will be a cheaper, quicker, less expensive rocket. And the way they did this is they gave the rocket ownership over to a private consortium in Europe called Ariane Group. The idea is that since they'd own it, they'd be able to make more money on it, and they'd have an incentive to reduce costs. Basically trying to copy what NASA's been doing. But unfortunately, Ariane Group did not make Ariane 6 reusable. And it's had some problems in development. And so they announced this week that they have to delay the first Ariane launch again to the fourth quarter of 23, literally a year from now. That's about an eight-month delay from their previous promised March launch. Ariane 6 was originally supposed to launch in 2020. That's 3 years ago, so it's significantly behind schedule. It's also struggled to obtain customers from Europe. This whole design, you know, Europe wants to use its own rockets for their own missions, but European nations and customers have been reluctant to buy Ariane 6. The only reason Ariane 6 now has a manifest of launches is because Jeff Bezos has decided to use it for his Kuiper launch system, even though it hasn't launched yet, even though he has his own rocket called Blue Origin. He signed them up for a whole bunch of launches, but they don't have a rocket yet, and the Ariane 5 is running out of launches, and so we have a delay on Ariane 6. The Ariane 5 doesn't have any more rockets left, and yet Europe had two different science missions scheduled to launch. One was a space telescope, Euclid, and the other was Hera, which is supposed to go to Dimorphos, which DART impacted last month. Well, those two launches have to happen, this, especially Hera. It's got a schedule. It's got a meet and launch window. And so a European Space Agency has signed up SpaceX to do those two launches since it doesn't have any rockets of its own that it can use. What's really ironic about this is that ESA is probably going to save a lot of money launching on the Falcon 9 rather than the Ariane 6. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the total SpaceX prize for both Falcon 9 launches equals the cost for one Ariane 6 launch. The difference in cost is so great. And meanwhile, SpaceX gets this business because its own competitors, ULA and Blue Origin, have also failed to get their rockets flying on time. Right now, SpaceX is the only business in town, and everyone's got to buy it, John. It just proves the point. If you're going to be in competition, you got to compete. You got to make things happen fast.
What is the rideshare program at SpaceX?
Yeah, this is an example of how SpaceX is aggressively a competitor. It doesn't sit around on its hands. It tries to get things to happen. So there's a whole bunch of small sat rocket companies coming along to try to get business for tiny small sat rockets. And SpaceX's Falcon 9 is a bigger rocket. It's really designed for larger satellites. But SpaceX said we're not going to just give up that market share to small sats. They started to launch what they call transporter missions, which they put a whole bunch of small sats onto a Falcon 9 and launch them all at once and give them very good prices to do so. Well, SpaceX has now simplified that rideshare program and changed the deployment platform used to deploy these small sat satellites. The result is that it allows satellites of all sizes to now buy the service directly from SpaceX rather than have to go through an aggregator. And that means the costs go down, which means SpaceX is just aggressively trying to get small sat business. Now, what the Falcon 9 can do versus what a small sat rocket can do are different. So in some ways, both can survive and compete. But SpaceX wants business, and it's not willing to let it go by, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.